So we're holding on Paytas Umwood Bays, seven lines from the bottom. We've been talking about registering other people for your Korban Pesach. So all this time, you know, we've kind of been talking about it in a generic way. You register people. But what does that mean exactly? Really, what it means is, in general, I mean, obviously it means, for example, if they're members of your family, you're not charging them. But if there are other people who you're having join in your Korban Pesach, I mean, a Korban Pesach costs money. And the other expenses that go with it also cost money. So usually what you'll do is then you'll have them each pay a certain amount. That's what we were talking about yesterday. We had the case where one person ends up being greedier, where they can tell them, we don't want you to eat more than your fair share. So now let's talk more about those dinim. You have to invite them to your house also, fine. But that, fine, you invite a guest to your house, you're not necessarily going to charge them for that. But the fact that the fact that you had to go and buy a Korban Pesach, and you have to go and buy wood to roast it, as we're going to discuss later, and other things. Yeah. So turn it up on them. If a person registers other people for him, together with him, for his Korban Pesach and his Korban Chagiga, here we're talking about Rashi says Chagigas Yudalid, the one that we said that you bring on Erev Pesach in a year when it's not on Shabbos and it's not Betuma and you have only a small amount of Korban Pesach for each person because you want to be able to eat Ala Sova. You want to be able to eat the Korban Pesach and fill up on it. So you have two different chagigas. We talked about back on Daf Samach Tes Ayin or so. You have two different chagigas. There's one that you bring during Yom Tov, and that one's not unique to Pesach. That one, everyone, the Shalosh Regalim, you have to bring a chagiga. Then you have unique to Pesach is the chagigas Abba Aser, which you bring on Erev Pesach. We said you're not yotze to the mitzvah of chagiga of Pesach with it. What it is the purpose of it is that the Korban Pesach itself should be nechal ala soiva. That this way, if you have only a small amount, if you have, let's say, a kazayis of Korban Pesach for each person, then you're first eating the chagiga and mostly filling up on that, and then you eat the Korban Pesach as the last thing in order to finish filling up on it. So that one we said generally like all korbanos, it has to be brought before the Tum and Shabbat Habayim, right? The Korban Pesach is an exception, right? And we're going to talk about later about the korbanos of Mechuzah Kippurim. Yeah, the Chagiga Sabasa would have to be brought before the Tumah Trobin Habayim. We said that Yeshayim, you could even bring it in the morning. Yeshayim only in the afternoon. But yeah, we said you don't bring it if Erev Pesach is on Shabbos, because not Doicha Shabbos. We don't bring it if the Tzibur is Tomei, because not Doicha Tumah. And a person brings it only if his Korban Pesach, only if he has a large group and therefore a small amount of Korban Pesach per person. If he has a small group, let's say, for example, he has only five people in his group and each one is going to get one-fifth of the animal, which is a substantial amount of meat, then you don't bring a chagiga with it because anyway, the Pesach itself will be enough to fill you up. It's not a mitzvah. It's just right. We talked about even it may be only drabanan. Right. So a person registers other people with him for his Korban Pesach or his Chagiga Sabal. So, and again, they're each paying him money towards it. So then the din is mois shebiyadei cholin, the money that he receives from them is cholin, the money that he receives from them is cholin, and now we have to figure out why. If he wasn't makdish his korban yet, now you have to realize, how does money become cholin? If you have, imagine, for example, you had, I'm going to be bringing a Korban Pesach. So let's say, for example, now you also knew you have a mitzvah of bringing a Korban Pesach. So you previously set aside money. I know that an animal for a Korban Pesach costs $100. So I set aside $100 for it. Now what happens is later on, I tell you, you know what? Instead of making your own Korban Pesach, why don't you join with me? So you say, okay, sounds good. Then you know what? So then I'll be what? One of 20 people by you. A Korban Pesach costs $100. So fine, I'll give you $5. Now, the rest of it is going to be Moisa Pesach. We talked about that yesterday. But the question is, by what mechanism, that's what's going to drive the piece of Gemara that we're going to learn over here. By what mechanism does that $5 now become cholin? L'chora, for it to become cholin, you would have to have that you took money that was hekdish and you bought something with it that was not hekdish and then made it hekdish. But if I was already makdish my Korban Pesach, and now I'm saying, why don't you come and join with me and pay $5 towards it? By what mechanism does that $5 become cholin if you were already makdish it and my Korban Pesach I had already bought and I was already makdish it? You're taking money of hekdish and using it towards something of hekdish. How is it becoming cholin? That's what's going to drive the discussion in the Gemara. No, of course. So no, when you buy the korban, when you first buy the korban, it's cholin. But then you buy it and you makdish it. I bought my korban already, let's say. I come to you a day or two before Pesach and say, you know what, instead of you buying your own animal, why don't you join in with me? And then you agree with that, yeah. So, but we're saying the money is considered chulin, and we're going to discuss later on in what sense is it chulin, what can you use it to buy anything, can you only use it to buy things that are necessary to make the korban Pesach? We'll get to that in a bit. Anyway, and the Braisa continues, v'hamoicher elosa yishlamav. Now, on the other hand, if a person sells his oila or his shlamim, so let's say a person had an animal for a korban oila, and he sold it to somebody else who also needs a korban oila, to be niskapa with it, loy also v'loy klum. What he did doesn't count for anything, meaning it doesn't work. It still has to be brought on behalf of the original owner. And the amount of money that he got, whatever it is, it doesn't become chulin. It goes into the nedava boxes in the Bais Hamikdash, namely that we use them to buy oilus for kayitz amizbeach or korbanas tzibur. Tosfos actually points out in the sefer it has to be talking about that the money was originally chulin, because otherwise, if you have, for example, that you were makdish money for a shlomim, let's say, and then I sold you my shlomim and you gave me the money was originally designated for a private shlomim, it can't become kayitz amizbeach. Then it would have to be used to bring another shlomim. So we have to be talking about the second case of the Braisa, has to be talking about, I had a shlomim, I offered to sell it to you who wants to bring a shlomim instead. So we're saying on the one hand, but we're saying the money that you gave me, instead of me being able to use it for cholin purposes, or instead of you being able to keep it, it's going to go into the nedava boxes. So now we have to figure out that last, let's work on that last part first. If we're saying what you did doesn't count for anything, then why does the money go into the nedava boxes? We should just say the sale is canceled. I keep my korban. You keep your money, and that's that. The answer is Omar Rava Knossa. Rava says you're right, but we make a knas. The Chachamim canceled the buyer, so he shouldn't ever do that again. Buy somebody else's oilo or shlomim. Now that he doesn't get the korban out of it, because the korban is still brought on behalf of the original owner. And the money itself, he doesn't get to keep either, because it goes to Nedava. That will make him not try to do that again. Now, so why don't we penalize the seller? The reason is, Rashi brings based on a Gemara, on a Gemara in some other places, that says, Lav achbara ganav elachora ganav. It's not the mouse that's the thief, it's the hole that's the thief. In other words, a mouse would like to be able to, it's a mushal, in other words, like a mouse or a person would like to be able to steal, would like to be able to do something wrong, but they can't do it unless they have a place to hide their loot. So in other words, the same thing. I might want to sell my korban, but if nobody's going to be willing to buy it from me, then I'm not going to be able to sell it. Because somebody else was willing to buy it from me, that's what made it possible. Therefore, we're going to cancel that person. You made it possible for somebody to sell his oil or his shlomim, and therefore we're going to penalize you by taking away the money and giving it to Kayetz Amizbeach. He would have to bring an oila, right? But the point is, in other words, so that's what happens. So he ends up bringing that animal as his own oila after all. He does end up bringing it, even though we thought that he sold it to Shimon, nevertheless, it's still brought on his behalf. Actually, the Ktzos HaChoshen, actually, it's funny. The Ktzos HaChoshen is a pirush on Shulchan Aruch, on Shulchan Aruch Choshen Mishpat. Dinim of Korbanos obviously don't apply nowadays. So they wouldn't belong in Shulchan Aruch. But you have a din over there about an animal of hektish that gored somebody else's animal, and you have dinim about that, so it mentions it in Shulchan Aruch, and that brings the ktsois into a lid. You talk about nowadays if you have a bechor, for example, which has a kedusha. Anyway, that brings the ktsois into a long discussion of the din of kodshim as they apply the monetary aspects of kodshim. And b'seich hadvarim, he brings our gemara over here. He says maybe we're not talking about, like Rashi says, that he's selling it to the other person to actually be miskapa with it. Fine, that for sure you couldn't do, but rather that he's selling it to the other person, that the other person will have the right to eat the meat of it, at least in the case of a shlomim. And therefore we're saying that doesn't work yet. Okay. So umay kol shehein. So what do we mean? The money, no matter how much it was, we means afagav delay havu shavu el arba. Let's say the animal was worth only 4 zuz, v'yavu lechamisha, and the other guy paid 5 zuz for it. So you would think the extra. Why should that have to go to nedava? It was only worth 4 anyway. No, afilabai yaseir nami kansur rabana. No, the chachamim were the chachamim canceled him even about that 5th one. We don't say that we consider it a present. We say that it's yeah. Okay. Now, let's work on the first half of that braisa. Oma Ula v'itema Rab Oshia. Ula, or some say Rab Oshia, asked a question. Maybe our friends in Bavel know the reasoning behind the braisa that we just said. Think of it. If Zehivish Tlela Pischoi, if Reuven already previously designated a sheep for his carbon, the Zehivish Moris Lepischoi, Shimon previously designated money that he plans to use to buy a sheep for his carbon Pesach. Now we're saying that Shimon instead is going to take that money and give it to Reuven and join in Reuven's carbon Pesach rather than bringing his own. How is Hektish able to be Chal on top of Hektish and have the money is going to become Cholin? We're saying the money ends up becoming Cholin. What's the mechanism what's the mechanism how that should work? Tosfos says, so why do we have to assume that Shimon set aside money for his Pesach? Let's just say that it was money of Cholin. The answer is then there's no Chiddush in it. There's no Chiddush in it. In fact, actually, Tosfos points out an interesting point. We're going to discuss the question now of to what extent does the Korban Pesach belong to you, to what extent that not, but definitely there is the fact that Torah gives you permission after you've designated your Korban Pesach that you're able to be memana other people on it. You're able to have other people join in, where in effect what you're doing is you're making them joint owners of the Korban. Because that's what it is. When they're paying money, they're becoming joint owners of it. Or what it is Rashi explains later on, you could say the mechanism is more that you're giving them away part of your Korban Pesach, and in return, they're giving you the money as a present. Let's say it's not maybe a direct sale, but the point is that Gzeiros HaKosev that you can do, even if you argue the Korban Pesach doesn't belong to you at all. But the question is, we're focusing on how does the money become cholin? And again, we can't be talking about where Shimon never made that money hektish, because then there's no chiddush in it. It has to be where he already made the money hektish. He planned to use it for his own Korban Pesach, and now in the end, he's using it towards Reuven's Korban Pesach. And the Braisa is saying, regardless, the money is cholin. Why? So Ula or Rav Oshia can't understand it. So in order to understand the answer, we need a little bit of background. The Torah tells us that there's in general the question, when you get down to it, you're going to be eating a major portion of it. Shlomim, Pesach, Bechor, etc. No, Bechor is the Kohen, whatever. Anyway, the point is, all of those are Kodshim Kalim. You eat the major portion of them. One way of looking at it, which is Rabbi Yosi Aglili's Shitta, is those are considered Momen Bailim. Those are considered to a certain extent your Momen, which, yeah, is Negeah as far as the halachas of Nezikin, for example. If that animal damages somebody else's animal, are you responsible to pay, for example? So that's the Shitta of Rabbi Yosi Aglili. Now, the other Chachamim disagree with him and say that, no, it's still considered Momen Gavoya. But now you also have, we're going to discuss soon, an opinion of Rebbe Rebbe discusses further on that the money that you receive for being Memana people for your Korban Pesach, that you're able to use that money for Cholin. Now, there's a couple of ways of understanding how Rebbe would say that. One way would be to say that he holds that the Korban itself, you're reserving, when you're Makdish, the animal for the Korban Pesach, you're reserving some of it for yourself. And therefore, that part that's still being reserved, that still remains your property, is the part that now the money can go and take that over. And therefore, the money becomes cholin and that part becomes kodesh. That's one way of looking at it. The other way of looking at it is that maybe you could say the same thing, not as far as the korban itself, but as far as the money. But as far as the money, that when Shimon, to begin with, is makdish his money for the Korban Pesach, he has in mind that there's a certain partial ownership that he retains over that money. And therefore, that money is still partially cholin. And therefore, now instead he gives it for the Korban Pesach. And therefore, now all the money becomes cholin and the Korban Pesach becomes kodesh. So there's a few different ways of explaining it. So Omer Abaya, now we have another din that we need to understand in this connection in order to understand this next piece of Gemara. The Torah tells us, Loi Sovi Esnan Zono Mechir Kelev Beis Hashem Alekecha. You're not allowed to bring as a korban, among other things, an Esnan Zona, which is an animal or things directly for a korban, like for example, flour or wine that was used as payment for a Zona's services. Now, the question is, now later on the Omer, we're going to talk about, does that apply if a person has an animal that he was already makdish and then he gives it to a zoyna, would that become also as esnan zoyna? So the braisa is going to say that it should if it weren't for a certain gzeiras hakosu in the pasuk over there. So now the question is, if kodshim don't belong, once you were makdish, it doesn't belong to you anymore, how could you asur it as esnan anyhow? If I take your thing, if Reuven takes Shimon's thing and gives it to Rachel, the zoner, it doesn't become asur because einanim oisur davo she'ena shaloi. So by what logic should Reuven be able to take a korban that he was makdish, which also doesn't belong to him, and give it to Rachel, the zoner, and have it, and we would say that it would be asur if it weren't for Xeris HaKosov, if it's not his either? Well, that's the question. In other words, so there's a few ways of understanding that. We could say, like Rabbi Yosi Aglili, that kodshim kalim mamon bailim, or we could talk about, according to Rebbe, where we're saying over here that there's a certain residue of non kedusha left in the animal or in the money, as the case may be, and therefore it can be chal on that. So that's what we're going to discuss now. So Amar Abaye. So Abaye says, to answer Ula's or of Oshia's question, now further on, we're going to quote further down on the Amud a Mishnah in Tmura that says that if a person gives a zona kodshim, then they don't become also as esnan, but they we would have thought that they would, and we need a pasuk to tell us that not. So now, Rab Oshia further on explains that that's not talking about where he actually gave it to her. It's talking about b'memanah zoyna al pishoi. It's talking about, let's say, so he has this zoyna. He owes her money, whether in advance or whether after the fact, whatever. So what he does is, in payment, what he does is he registers her for the Korban Pesach. So he figures, you know, I owe her $5. So fine, I'm gonna have 20 people for my Korban Pesach. She can be one of them, and that'll be then $5. That'll pay her off. The Rebbe and Reb Oshia is saying that goes according to Rebbe, who holds that the Korban Pesach has a certain that is considered to a certain extent mamon bailim. And in fact, further on, we're going to say, if we say that Rebbe holds that the Pesach itself is mamon bailim, then it means, going back to what we said about the money that he's receiving for registering people for his Korban Pesach, he'd be allowed to use that money for anything he wants, not just for things that relate to the Korban Pesach, as we're going to have soon the Chachamim say, but for anything. So Rebbe holds, in other words, that the Korban Pesach is mamon bailim. So now, Reb Oshia explained it that way. So if it weren't for that, if it weren't for Reb Oshia's explanation, then havamuk minalalahi, then going back to the braisa about people paying money towards the Korban Pesach and the money becoming chulin, I, says Abaya, I would have thought to explain that one is talking about b'kodshim kalim ba'alibidir Reb Yosi Aglili, that we're talking about that braisa would be, not the braisa, but rather the Mishnah in Tmura. Sorry, let me rephrase that. Abaya is saying like this, when it comes to the Mishnah in Tmura, which is saying that if a person gives kodshim to a zoyna, it doesn't become also as esnan, but not because einon of oisa java she'ena shaloi, but rather because of a gzeres hakosuv. So Abaya says, Reb Oshia is telling us that's specifically talking about a Korban Pesach, where he registers the zoyna as one of his guests, and that's according to Rebbe. If it weren't for that, I would have said that Mishnah in Tmura goes according to Reb Yosi Aglili, that it's talking not specifically about the Korban Pesach, but in general about Kodshim Kalim. Dama Kodshim Kalim Momen Bailimu. And he says in general that Kodshim Kalim are considered the property of the owner. So then what I would have said is, Avoba Pesach Loi Mashayu Inish. But I would have said, continues Abaya, now going back to the braisa before about people paying him money towards join in his Korban Pesach and that money becoming chulin, I would have said like this: Rebbe doesn't hold that when it comes to the Korban Pesach, there's any leftover part of it that's not kaddish. When he's makdish the animal, it becomes 100% kaddish, and according to Rebbe and according to everybody except for Reb Yosi Aglili, not mum and bailim at all. But what I would have said is b'mois vade mishayu inish. But I would have said that Rebbe would say, when it comes to the money that a person is makdish for Pesach, he leaves over some of it that he has in mind to keep for himself. To begin with, when he designates the money, he has that in mind that what he's going to do is he's going to be able to give that money to the person that he's going to join in with the Korban Pesach, that he's giving it to him in effect as a present. So in other words, Reuven is saying, I have a Korban Pesach and I'm going to register you, Shimon, with it. Shimon says, we would say that the money that Shimon gives him is not really payment for it, because there's nothing to pay Reuven for, because the Pesach doesn't belong to him anymore. Rather, he's giving him a present. And he has in mind to begin with, when he designates this money, that I still have a certain ownership of it, to the extent that I can give it to somebody as a present to the person that I'm going to be eating the Korban Pesach with. So then, in that case, b'moiz vade mishayu inish mi'ikra, to begin with, ki mafish lahu, when he designates it, adai to dehochi mafish lahu, he designates the money with that in mind, and therefore v'har rebihi, therefore we would say the answer to Ula's or of Oshia's question, how does the money become cholin if the korban is hektish and the money is hektish? The answer would be that braisa would be according to Rebbe. And that is why the money would be cholin. Because again, we would say, Rebbe would say, when it comes to the Korban Pesach, there's no residual part, there's no leftover part that's not hektish. The whole Korban Pesach becomes hektish. And therefore, in the case of the Esnan, we can't say it's talking specifically a Korban Pesach. We would have to be saying that it could only work according to the Yosei Aglili, which in that case is not only a Pesach but any Kodshim Kalim. When it comes to the money, though, we would say that Rebbe would say that there is a residual ownership that the person keeps over the money, to the extent that now he can give it as a present to the one who is making the Korban Pesach, and the money therefore becomes holy. Now, Abaya continues, why would I have thought to say that way? Now, when it comes to the Mishnah in Tmura about the Esnan Zoyna, where, as we're going to see soon, as we already said, Rabbi Oshia says that actually that Mishnah goes like Rebbe, that we're talking about where we're not talking about any Kodshim Kalim. We're talking about where he has the Zoyna join in his Korban Pesach, and he's paying her off that way. So Abaya says, Loi Mukmina Lo Anok Rebbe. I wouldn't have thought to say that Mishnah goes like Rebbe. Debe Pesach Loi Meshayu Inish. Because when I would still say that Rebbe would hold that by the Pesach, there's no leftover of it. So you can't say, in other words, if he's Memana her on his Korban Pesach, there's nothing of it left for him to give away. It all belongs to Hektish in the first place. So there's no Hava Mina that it should become Osir. The same way, again, as if Reuven takes Shimon's korban if Reuven takes Shimon's animal, b'chlal, and gives it to Rachel, it doesn't become also. The same thing, if Reuven takes his korban, which he was completely designating, and giving a portion of it to Rachel, nothing would happen. It's not his to give away, right? Over Mois Meshayu Inish, but again, we would say when it comes to the money, there would be a residual ownership. Because to begin with, he sets it aside, having in mind that he's going to use it that he could give it instead of using it himself for the Korban Pesach. He's leaving himself open the option to give it to somebody else to join in his Korban Pesach, and therefore it has the ability to become cholin. So in short, in other words, Abaya is saying, I would have figured like this. Our braisa that we're talking about over here is according to Rebbe. The braisa that says that the money becomes cholin would be according to Rebbe. We're going to see in a second why we can't say it's like Rebbe Yosi Aglu. The Mishnah about Nosan Lomukdosh and Ves Nana, he would have thought to say, Abaya is saying, I would have thought to say I would have said that can't go according to Rebbe, because there you're not talking about money, there you're talking about the actual Korban Pesach. Therefore, necessarily, I would have had to say that Mishnah in Tmura goes like Rebbe Yosi Aglu. He says that in general, Kodshim Kalim belong to the owner. Therefore, any Kodshim Kalim that he gives the Zoyna, you would have thought he has the ability to do, because they belong to him to a certain extent. And therefore, the Torah tells us that not. But now, v'hol lekel uknik Rabbi Yosi. Now, our braisa over here about the money becoming cholin, we can't say that would go like Rabbi Yosi Aglili. D'hotoni bo v'hamoicher elosu shlom of le'osav le'klum. Because after all, it says that if a person sells his oil or his shlomim, then what he did doesn't count. Now, according to Rabbi Yosi Aglili, why not? the carbon still belongs to him to a certain extent. Kodshim kalam mamon bailim, he would be able to sell them. So the fact that the Braisa is saying that he can't implies that it's not like Rabbi Yisrael Glili. So therefore, Abaye says there's no choice but to say that our Braisa over here goes like Rebbe. Now, again, there's two ways of understanding Rebbe. You could say that Rebbe is saying that there's a residual part of the carbon itself that belongs to the owner, or you could say there's a residual part of the money that belongs to the owner. So now, so Abaye says, I would have thought to say then that there's only Rebbe would say there's only a residual part of the money. The money you're not makdish 100%. You're still leaving yourself an out to give it to somebody and join in his Korban Pesach, but not with the Pesach itself. Therefore, necessarily the case of the Esnan would be according to Rabbi Yisrael Glili, and the case of the money, because it couldn't be according to Rebbe, and the case of the money over here, since it can't be according to Rabbi Yisrael Glili, would have to be according to Rebbe. Abaye says that's how I would have thought to explain it. But now that we have Rab Oshia explaining, and by the way, it seems there are two different Rab Oshias here. There's the Rab Oshia who asked the question, and then there's the Rab Oshia who's explaining Rebbe's Shitta. The Rab Oshia we're talking about over here who's explaining Rebbe's Shitta is actually a Talmud of Rebbe. So we can assume that he knows what his Rebbe was talking about. So now that Rab Oshia explained Lahi, that Mishnah in Tmura, B'mamana Zona Apischei V'Rebihi, that Mishnah, which is saying, again, that if he gives the Zona Kodshim, they don't become Osir because of Xeris HaKosov and not because of the plain fact that Einonim Osir Dava Shena Shaloi, that would be talking according to Rebbe, and the case is where he's registering her for his Korban Pesach, and we're saying, nevertheless, it doesn't become Osir on those grounds. Now we can say that Rebbe holds not only as far as the money, but even as far as the Korban Pesach, the person keeps himself some residual ownership. So in the case of the Esnan, that would make it possible for it to become Esnan if it weren't for the Pasuk telling us not. And in the case of the money over here, now you have two ways of explaining it. You can say that Shimon, when he designated as money, had in mind, I'm still leaving myself the option to give it to somebody else for the Korban Pesach, and then it'll become, and therefore it's able to become Cholin. Or you can say when Reuven was Makdish, his Korban Pesach, to begin with, he had in mind that he's still keeping a certain degree of ownership over it. And therefore now when Shimon gives him, so even if Shimon was completely Makdish his money, then Reuven is able, once he gives it to Reuven, so now it's Chal on the Cholin part of Cholin's, now it's Chal on the Cholin part of Rebbe's Korban, therefore the money becomes Cholin and the Korban becomes completely Kaddish. So that's the answer to Ula's or of Oshia's question, what's the mechanism by which it works? Now we're saying there's two ways of understanding that, how the money becomes Cholin. Either because part of the Pesach is still Cholin and he's selling that part to the person in exchange for the money, or the Pesach is completely Kodshim, there's nothing to sell, but the money still has a degree of Cholin on it, and therefore, so I'm giving you a part of my Korban Pesach, and you're giving me as a present, you're giving me money which has a degree of Cholin to it. And therefore, that money now becomes completely Cholin, and that money now becomes completely Cholin based on that fact that you kept some ownership of it for yourself. So that's the answer, says Abaye. Okay, it's a little bit hard to keep track over here, but it's relatively straightforward. It's just hard to keep track of all the different moving parts. But yeah. No, well, that's the point. In other words, the question was originally, yeah, when I go to begin with to you, you're a cattle dealer, and I go and buy a sheep from you. No question the money becomes Cholin, obviously, because I started out with Cholin money. You started out with a Cholin animal. Now we have the money remains Cholin, and the animal becomes Hekdesh. Fine, that's straightforward. The question is, now that I have this animal for a Korban, now I want to invite him for my Korban Pesach, and he's going to pay me money towards it. Now he previously set aside money that he's going to be that he's going to be buying a Korban Pesach. So he was makdish that money. So now his money is hekdish, my Korban is hekdish. Where is the cholin? Where's the room for anything to become a cholin? So now we're saying that there's two different ways of explaining it. That either that I kept some ownership of the Korban Pesach itself, according to Rebbe, or that I didn't keep any ownership of the Korban Pesach, but he kept some ownership of his money. So one way or the other, that works. Yeah.
Okay.
So my he did Rabbi Oshia. Where? What's the statement of Rabbi Oshia that we're referring to, where he says that Rebbe holds we're talking about the Zoyna and Arestan? So Ditnan, we learn in a Mishnah in Tumura. If the man gave the woman the Zoyna animals that were already kodshim as her estan, hareila mutarin, then they remain mutar. Oifus to chulin. On the other hand, if he gives her birds, which were chulin, now the birds totem of Nayona that can be brought as a korban. If he gives her those hareila asurin, then those become osur and they become estan, and you're not allowed to bring them as korbanos. Now, why do we need to say that? So the Mishnah continues. Trahoya bedin. You would have thought to make actually this part is a braisa really. Shahoya bedin. You would have thought to make a kavachomer as follows. Uma im mukdoshim shamum poisabahem. Madoch animals that were already designated as a korban. During that time, while they're designated, before you shech them, if they develop a mum, they're possible to bring. Nevertheless, ein esnan mechir chalalein. Nevertheless, the din of esnan and also the din of mechir kelev, which it says in that same pasuk, that if Reuven has a dog, if Reuven has a korban and Shimon has a dog, and Reuven trades his animal, trades his animal for Shimon's dog, so the Torah tells us that animal is also to bring as a korban. But again, if the animal was already designated as a korban, then esnan, then mechir is not chal on it; it doesn't become osur. So animals that are mukdashim that are already Kodshim, they become possible from a mum, but esnan and mechir are not chal on them. Well, then, when it comes to birds, where a mum does not passel them for a korban at all, only mechusar eva, only if they're actually missing a limb, ain't a din shein esnan and mechir chal aleim. Wouldn't it be a kavachomer that the dinim of esnan and mechir can't land on them? So therefore you would have thought that birds can't become esnan mechir. Tamad loyma lachol neder. The rabbis is oifus. No, the Torah tells us that you can't bring these things lachol neder. So that lachol comes to include birds. Now that we know that, then kavachomer lemukdashin me'ata. So now we would argue you should make a kavachomer the other way around. Ma oifus shein amum poisa ben esnan mechir chalalein. Ma dach birds. Where a mum does not passel them, but we're saying that esnan amachir does passel them, as we just said, if he gives her a bird as a korban, if he gives her a bird as her esnan, as her payment, mukdoshin sha'am mum poisabahen, so then kodshim, which can become passel by a mum, eino din sha esnan amachir chalalein, wouldn't it be a kavachomer that esnan amachir would be chal on them, and therefore that if he gives her an animal which he previously designated as a korban, it would become esnan, and now it becomes also to bring? No, tamad loyma lachol neder prat l'nodur. The pasuk says you can't bring it for any neder, meaning anything that you're going to be designating as a neder, not something that you already designated as a neder that you're going to bring this korban. So now that we understand that, ela taima dekas of rachman on neder. So what are you telling me? Only because the Torah says neder, and we therefore have a miut that it means not the neder. Therefore we're saying because of that zeris hakasev, therefore the animal doesn't become osur as esnan. What do you mean? Holav hochi hava amin mukdashim chal isur esnan alayim. And what? If not for that, then esnan could be chal on kodshim. What do you mean? Vaha ein adam oisur davar sheinish aloy. A person can't ask for something that doesn't belong to him. Again, just like we said, if Reuven takes Shimon's animal and gives it to Rachel, nothing happens. The same way, if Reuven takes an animal of kodshim and gives it to Rachel, nothing should happen just based on that alone because it doesn't belong to him. So why do we need a posik to tell us that it's not chal? Why do we need the word neder to tell us in Hachal? And now comes the answer. We're talking about not where he's actually giving her the animal as a whole, but where he's having her join and register for his Korban Pesach and saying, that'll pay off my debt to you. So therefore, it has to be according to Rebbe, who, now again, we said before that there's two ways of understanding Rebbe, one of them being, now that we have Rabbi Oshia's explanation, it means Rebbe holds not only when it comes to the money, but even when it comes to the Korban Pesach itself, the person retains some ownership of it. So that partial ownership is what we would have thought that leaves room for it to become also as esnan, and the Torah tells us the word neder that tells us that not. So my Rebbe, where do we see Rebbe talking about this issue? So Tanya, we learn in a Braisa The pasuk says, "Im yim at habayis miyos miset." Literally, the pasuk means, "If the house is too few for being for a sheep." So we said that the simple meaning of the pasuk means, if there's too few people in the household to eat a whole korban pesach, so then they have other families join in with them. We said yesterday also that we also learned from that pasuk the idea that if they want to reduce the number of people for the korban pesach, if people want to withdraw and go join a different korban pesach, they could until it's shechted, or we said according to Reb Shimon, until the blood is sprinkled. Now we're saying there's another din that we learned from it also. Im yim'at can also be understood if he has too little. Habayis, he has too little money in his house, miyos miseh, to be able to make the sheep for the Korban Pesach. In other words, he doesn't have enough money for his Pesach expenses. So in other words, so what happens, therefore, so he's going to have an idea. Like this, he could think to himself as follows. Like this, normally what I would have said is, I'm just going to have myself and my family are going to join in eating the Korban Pesach. Let's say there's 10 of us. Each of us will have a generous amount of Pesach meat. But now I realize I'm short of money to be able to make the Korban Pesach for the expenses of Pesach. So now what I'm going to do is, I have an idea. I'm going to go invite the family next door, is another 10 people. I'm going to charge them each a few bucks to join in my Korban Pesach. And now I'll have money to be able to buy my Pesach expenses. So the pasuk is telling us you can do that. Hachayehu miseh. So the pasuk says miyois miseh. We're darshaning the word miyois as if it said mechayus, a hey and a ches. We can often exchange in drushes, because after all, a hey and a ches look similar, and technically they sound similar as well. You know, a sfardi ches, that's in the back of the throat. So hachayehu miseh. So that means he can make himself live using the sheep. In other words, that he's allowed. He's allowed to make himself alive. He's allowed to be able to pay for his expenses using the seh, by selling shares in the seh to other people. But mikdei achila v'loy mikdei mekach. But the chachamim say it still has to be the Tanakama of this Braisa, which is the chachamim say. It still has to be that you can only use the money towards things of eating, not for other things that you'd like to buy. And we'll see soon what that means. Rebbe Oymer asked Mikdei Mekach. Rebbe says you could even use the money for other things that you want to buy. Sheim ein loy memana acher ima al pischei v'al chagiga. So, namely, that if you want, you could have somebody else join in your Pesach or your chagiga. Umois shebiyadei cholin, and the money that you receive will become cholin. Shal manas ken hikdishu Yisrael as pischeim, because it was on that condition to begin with that Jewish people were makdish their korban as Pesach. So therefore, Rav Oshia learns from that. That Reb Oshia learns from that. If he's saying that the person was Makdish as Pesach, having that in mind, that means the person keeps himself a certain ownership of the Pesach itself and uses that to be able to get other people to join and have the money become cholin. So therefore, now Reb Oshia is able to say that before, when we said about the case where he gives the kodshim to the to the zoyna and it doesn't become esnan, not because einanim oisa davar she'einish aloi, but only because of the word neder in the pasuk, that has to be talking about where he had her join in his Korban Pesach. So again, even though he has a certain ownership of the Korban Pesach, nevertheless, that part doesn't become usur because of the word neder. So now, going back to what we said before, so that answers why we said when other people give him money, it becomes cholin, either because the Pesach itself is still partially cholin, or because the money is still partially cholin. Actually, Tosfa says if you have a pasuk to tell us this, then why do we need this amanas kenik to Yisrael b'scheim, which sounds like it's just the it's because the person has it in mind. So Tosfos says that's what it means. The pasuk tells us that when a person is makdish his korban pesach, that's what he has in mind. Okay, so now let's understand that braisa. So Rabba and Reb Zeira. So Rabba and Reb Zeira argue what Rebbe means when he says that you're allowed to use the money for other things. When it comes to buying wood for roasting the Korban Pesach, everybody agrees that you're allowed to buy it with the money that you got from the other people. Even the Chachamim would agree. Because that wood is needed in order to make the Korban Pesach, because without it, you can't eat. It has to be roasted. Without it, you don't have a Korban Pesach. Therefore, could go for the Pesach dummy. So that everybody would agree that that's considered like the goof of the Pesach. Ki pligi b'matzah u'maror. The machloikas of the Chachamim and Rebbe would be, what if you want to use that money to buy matzah and maror that you're going to eat at the Seder together with the Korban Pesach? So Rabbanon Sabri Ho Achila Achriti, the Chachamim are going to say that that's a separate thing. Therefore, you can't buy it with the money from your Korban Pesach. The Rebbe Sava, given the Echshed of the Pesach, who could go for the Pesach dummy. Rebbe, meanwhile, is going to hold that since it's net, that since it's something that it goes along with the Korban Pesach, to eat the Korban Pesach, you have to have matzah and morer, because the Pesach is now matzah and morerim yechlu. Morer, in particular, we're going to learn at the end of the Masechta, nowadays, for example, morer is only dirabanan, because we don't have a Korban Pesach. Morer is daraisa only when there is a Korban Pesach. Matzah fine is daraisa either way, according to most opinions, but still it goes along with the Korban Pesach. Therefore, kegufa the Pesach dummy. Therefore, Rebbe would say, according to that way of looking at it, that even the matzah and murder is considered like the goof of the Pesach. V'chad Omar, so that's between Rabbah and Reb Zeira, that's one of them. The other one says, even when it comes to matzah and murder, everybody agrees that you could buy it with the money that you got. After all, the Pasuk says that you have to eat the Korban Pesach with matzah and murder. So even the Chachamim would have to agree that you're allowed to buy matzah and murder with the money that you bought, that you received to join in the Korban Pesach. Since they're prerequisites of the Korban Pesach, then they can be considered like the Pesach. The argument would be, can he use the money to buy other things? Can he use it to buy a shirt? Can he use it to buy a talis? Nothing to do with the Pesach at all, but just he wants new clothes for Yom Tov. So now, Rabbanan Sabri Miyos Miseh Amarachmana, the Chum say, after all, the Pasuk says Miyos Miseh, meaning Hachayehu Laseh, whatever Chayos you're going to be getting out of this money has to be something that's used towards the Seh itself, only things that are needed for the Korban or for things that go along with the Korban, but not a Cholok or a Talis. Rebbe says, no, the Hachayeh doesn't refer to the sheep, it refers to you. You can keep yourself alive with the sheep. In other words, you can use the money that you got for shares in the Korban Pesach towards anything that you want. Okay. Fine. So the question is, now one more thing we have to figure out. So again, we said that Rebbe used the expression Shalmanas Kein Hikdishu Yisrael Pischehem, that it's with this in mind that the Jewish people are Makdish the Korban Pesachim. So now let's go back. Ula Abaya de Omer. Now what about Abaya at the top of the Omer, where he said Ilav de Oikmer of Oshilahi the Mamana Zona Pische Rebbe? If it weren't for the Oshia's answer about the case of the Esnan, I would have said have a Mukminu Lobakodshim Kalim Baalibid of Yesagvidi. I would have said that the case of the Esnan is only according to Rabbi Yosi Aglili, who says that Kodshim Kalim in general belong to the owner, and therefore, again, that according to Rabbi Yosi Aglili, if we understand that Mishnah like Rabbi Yosi Aglili, it would mean in general, he has an animal of a shlomim, let's say, and he gave it to the Zoyna. We would have thought it becomes also, because it's still mum and bailim, and the Pasuk tells us with the word neder that not. But Abaya says, I would have thought to say that Rebbe would say about the Pesach, there's no residual ownership left. The residual ownership is only within the money. Well, then, the question is, Hakatani Behed Yeshamanas Kenik Trisiros Bishayan. In this Braisa that we just quoted, we said clearly that Rebbe says it's on that condition that the Jewish people will makdish their korbanos pesachim. So we see obviously from that, that a person leaves himself some ownership of the Pesach. Why did Abaya originally think not like that? The answer is Ema. You could say that what Rebbe means in the Braisa, shamanas kenik dishisio mois pesachim, that maybe for that on that condition, the Jewish people will makdish money for their korban Pesach. Abaya would have thought maybe that's what Rebbe means. He doesn't mean the actual korban Pesach itself. He means the money. But the Korban Pesach he has no ownership of, and therefore the case of the Esnan can't be referring to a Korban Pesach because he has no ownership of it to even give it to her. It would have to be according to Rabbi Yosi Aglili. But then Abayad said, once Rabbi Oshia explained that Rebbe does hold, it doesn't just mean the money of the Pesach, it means the Pesach itself, then we don't need to say that. And then that explains, now we have two ways of explaining how the money become chulin, and as far as the Mishnah about the zona and the korban, it doesn't have to refer to the korban. It doesn't have to refer to korban to kodshim kalim generically. It refers to the korban pesach specifically, and it's according to them. Okay. Mishnah says, Now, we have like this. We have cases of, we know that among people who are Tomei, you have people who just have, we have people who just have to dip in the mikveh and they're Tahor. Well, actually like this. We have people who, everybody who dips, everybody who's Tomei has to dip in the mikveh, and everybody who has to dip in the mikveh needs afterwards head of Shemesh. They have to wait until Tzeisek HaChavim. There you have, this is when we're talking about, Tvilas Daraisa. We're not getting into cases where a person has to Tovol Dirabanan. In some of those cases, you don't need head of Shemesh. But when a person is Tomei Daraisa, they have to Tovol and they need head of Shemesh. Now we know there are some Tmeim who before they Tovol, they also need to count a certain number of days. For example, a Zav or a Zava. And we know that there are also that there are some of them who, in addition, have to bring a korban before they're completely tahor. They'll go through. They have to tovel before they tovel. They're a strong tumah. After that, they become a tvul yom. After that, they become a mechusah kippurim, and then they bring their korban and they're completely tahor and they're able to eat kodshim. So now we're going to address those issues. The Mishnah says, Zav Shirah Shteiriyas, if a Zav had two emissions of Ziva, which makes him now a complete Zav, however, he doesn't yet have to bring a korban, two times Ziva doesn't make him out. It means that he's Tomei as a Zav, means that his Mishkav and Moshav are an Ava Tomei, etc. But and he has to count 7 clean days without Ziva, but he doesn't have to bring a korban. So then Shecht in Olav Bashvi, they can shecht the Korban Pesach for him on the 7th day of his counting, even though head of Shemesh hasn't happened yet. Because it's true that now when they're shecht in the Korban, he's still also to eat it. But by the time it comes time to eat the Korban, which is going to be after Tzeitzek HaChavim, he'll already be Tahor. He'll already have had head of Shemesh. He's not a Mechusa Kippurim. He doesn't need anything else. He'll be able to eat the Korban, so therefore he's good. The point is that we can shecht for him even though he hasn't yet had head of Shemesh. We're going to discuss in the Gemara, can we do it before he even toivled? Can we shecht for him, having in mind that later on in the day he's going to toivle? We're going to discuss that in the Gemara. But if he toivled and he only needs head of Shemesh, then we're saying for sure you could. Now, with that said, Tosfos Rid points out, don't make him the only person on this Korban Pesach, because there is, after all, the possibility that later on in the day he's going to have Ziva again. And as we learned before, we had a discussion about this before, where according to everybody except Rabbi Yossi, I think we said, then he's going to lose his days and have to start all over, and then the Pesach is going to be possible. So at least have other people on it as well, so that way, even if he ends up becoming possible, the Korban Pesach won't become possible and noiser. Rosh Sholosh, what if he had 3 emissions of Ziva? Then Shecht and Allah Bashmini Shaloi, then you can only Shecht for him only if Erev Pesach is his 8th day. Now, we're going to discuss in the Gemara, again, does that mean he has to actually have brought his Korban before the Korban Pesach or not? But at least the point is, you can't bring it for him if it's a 7th day, because he's still, that night, he's still going to be Mechusah Kippurim, and he's not going to be able to eat it, so it can only be on the 8th day. Similarly, if you have a woman who had 1 day of Ziva during the 11 days of Zivus, then we know that she, or 2 days, she's called a Shemeres Yom Keneged Yom. She needs Midaraisa, Midrabanan. Nowadays we have, there's all kinds of Chumras on it, but never mind that. Midaraisa, we say that she had 1 or 2 days of blood during the days between Nida and Nida, as we learned about in the Masechta Nida. So therefore, what we say is she needs 1 clean day, and then at the end of it, she can, sometime during that day, she can Tovel. She needs head of Shemesh, then she's completely Tahor. So the same thing, you can shecht the Korban Pesach if her Tahor day is Erev Pesach. So she had a flow of blood on Yud Gimel Nissen, or 2 of them, 1 on Yud Beis, 1 on Yud Gimel. As long as Yud Dalad Nissen, Yud Dalad Nissen is her clean day, so fine, she goes to the mikvah on Yud Dalad, and we can shecht the Korban Pesach for her. And again, the idea is, by the time it comes nighttime and it's time to eat the Korban Pesach, her shall have had head of Shemesh, and we're good. Same thing, if she had her Re'iyah 2 days in a row, then the same idea. In other words, if she had your Beis and your Gimel, then we can shecht for her on your Dalet, as long as she's not having any flow of blood on that day. On the other hand, if she's a Zava, then she needs 7 clean days, so then we can only shecht for her on the 8th day. Because only when it comes to 8th day, because again, she has to tovel on the 7th day. Well, no, a zava. A zava gdola is going to have to bring a korban. So therefore, so again, she's going to be a mechusa kippurim until she brings the korban. Therefore, we can't shecht for her on the seventh day, because fine, she's going to tovel on the seventh day and be mutter to her husband, but she still has to bring a korban the next day. Therefore, only if the eighth day is at her Pesach can we do that. Okay. So the Gemara starts off. Amar of Yehuda Amar Rav. Shechtin bezerken al tvul yoyim mechusa kippurim. We can shecht the korban Pesach and sprinkle the blood of the korban Pesach, having in mind somebody who is a tvul yoyim or somebody who is a mechusa kippurim. The ain shirkin vizirkin al tmei sheretz. But suppose you have a person who became tummy with a sheretz. Now he doesn't need anything else except tevila and a head of shemesh. You don't say though that you can shecht the korban for him before he tovels, as we're going to discuss in the Gemara. Why not? So even though he could tovel, Rav says you can't shecht the korban Pesach for him unless he already tovels. But if he already toveled and all that he's missing is head of shemesh, or all that he's missing is mechusa kippurim, then you can shecht for him. But Ula Amar Af Shechtin Bezerken Al Tmei Sheretz. Ula says no, you could even shecht and sprinkle the blood for Tmei Sheretz. He didn't go to the mikveh yet. Fine, he has time to go to the mikveh later in the day. So the question is, L'Rav Maishna Tvul Yoyim D'Chozi La'Urta. You have to ask, according to Rav, what's the difference? So Tvul Yoyim was saying he already toveled, but he has to wait for head of Shemesh. Right now, he's not kosher to eat a korban, but it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter because in the evening, he'll already be able to eat it. Tmei Sheretz Nami Chozi La'Urta. You could say the same thing, somebody who became Tomei from a Sheretz. In the evening, he's already going to become Tahar because he's only Tomei for the one day until he goes to the mikveh and has head of Shemesh. So what's the problem? The answer is mechusa tevila. Okay, but he hasn't toveled yet. So the question is, so what? Tevul yoyim nami mechusa head of shemesh. So what? The tevul yoyim is also missing something. Head of shemesh hasn't happened yet. The answer is that doesn't depend on a maisa of his. Shim shim emela arva. The sun goes down by itself. So therefore, automatically. So therefore, there's a big difference. So the question is, mechusa kippurim nami ha mechusa kapara. So what about though? You could say that you could say the same thing in the Mechusa Kippurim. There's also an action missing. His korban has to be brought. In other words, if we're going to say that we don't know yet the reason why it's distinguished. So far, we're just saying the difference is whether he's Mechusa Maisa. Well, if he has to Toivul, he's Mechusa Maisa. If he's Mechusa Kippurim, he's also Mechusa Maisa. So the whole Nami Mechusa Kapara. The answer is Shekinoi Biyodai. The answer is, let's say he already has his birds for his korban in his hand, and therefore we know he's going to bring them. So the question is, Tomei Sheretz Nami had a mikveh lefanav. So you could say the same thing about the Tomei Sheretz. There's a mikveh available right there. It's easy enough for him to tovel. So what's the problem? The answer is, Dilma Posha. He might get careless. He might not tovel. So therefore, Rav is saying you can't shecht for him unless he actually already tovel. So the question is, Ihochi Mechusa Kippurim Nami Duma Pasha, new, and don't you have the same problem if he's Mechusa Kippurim? The answer is, it's not talking about where he himself has the money or the birds in his hands. We're talking about going to Masrinu LeBeistin. If he gave the money over to the Beistin Shokoyanim, who are responsible for running things in the Beis Mikdash, then if there's no Pshia involved, V'chidir Shmaya. That would work based on what Rav Shmaya says. The Omar Chazaka. And based in Shokoyanim, Omni Misham, Ad Shiyichlo Mois Shabashoifus. There's a chazaka that the based in of Koyanim will not leave the Beis Mikdash for the day until all the money in the shofaris are you have in particular one pushka over there that's labeled kinim, where a person who has to bring two birds as a korban, any mechusa kapara, would put money in there. So they know that they're going to spend all that money and buy korbanos and make sure that the korbanos are brought that day precisely for that reason, so that the mechusrei kippurim don't end up eating korbanos when they're not allowed to. So therefore, we have that guarantee. So therefore, there's no matter of pshia, because we know that the Beis Din of Koyanim won't. Tosfos points out over here, you have to say that all the money that was placed into these shofaris was placed in bundles. Otherwise, you have a problem. If you're going and buying korbanos, you're inevitably mixing up one person's money with the other person's money. And how does it work? So it has to be that each one was bundled separately. Okay. According to Rav, like this, if the person is only lacking something which is going to happen by itself, which is head of Shemesh, or something which we can depend on the Beis Din Shokoyanim to do, namely to bring his kapara, then we're good. But if it's something that depends on him, namely to Tovel, then Rav says you can't do that. So ula rav midaraisa mechsechazi. So it comes out, according to Rav, then you're saying that apparently midaraisa, he's fit to have the Korban Pesach brought. This the whole thing is only a gzera, but abonon hu de gozrube. The Chachamim made a gzera that he can't because he might get careless and not toivel. The problem with that is alama omarab betamin echan man besheretz. That doesn't work because we had previously on Daf Pei, we had the case where there was exactly half the Jewish people were tahor and half of them were tamei. And the question is, what do? You need a roiv to be able to bring the Pesach betuma. So Rav said, you take one of the people and you metame him with a sheretz, and now you have a roiv of tamei. Now the question is, if according to Rav, the whole thing is only drabbanon, how would that work? Daraisa, we would still say you could shecht on his behalf, so you still have a majority of tahorim. So no, elo l'rav midaraisa nami loichos. No, we have to say it's not a gzera. Rav would say that daraisa, somebody who still needs to toivel, is not able to have the korban pesach brought on his behalf. And we know that dichtiv, because the pasuk says ish ki yetomei lo nefesh. The pasuk says any person who is tomei mess, then he brings pesach sheni. Now the pasuk doesn't specify where in his 7 days of tuma he's holding. We know that a person is tomei mess for 7 days, but the pasuk doesn't specify where in those 7 days he's holding. Therefore, milay askin and shachal shvi shal elias be'erav pesach. So the pasuk could even be talking about where his seventh day comes out on erev pesach, where then already you have he was sprinkled on the third and the seventh day. And the Hainu Tumas Sheretz, in effect now, he's in the same position as a Tomei Sheretz. All he has to do is Tovel and need head of Shemesh, because the sprinkling of Parah Duma water has already been done. And yet the Torah tells us that we're doiche him. Therefore, says Rab, you see from that a Tomei Sheretz is not able to have the Korban Pesach. Tosfos points out, if he already toveled, then we can't say on him ki yeh tomei, because then he's not really fully tomei. Now he's only a tvul yom. It's only a lesser degree of tumah. So the pasuk has to be talking about where he didn't tovel yet. And therefore the pasuk is saying that we can't bring the korban pesach on his behalf, and therefore we would say the same thing as far as the tumas sheretz. Now you could say, how do you know that? Maybe the pasuk says tomei lanefesh and it doesn't say tomei sheretz, so maybe it only means, maybe it's only exeris akosiv about a tomei mess. So the answer is no. Savolak Rabbi Yitzchak, Rav in this regard holds like Rabbi Yitzchak. First of all, Rabbi Yitzchak says the question is, the Gemara discusses, the Sifri discusses, the Gemara discusses it in Sukkah, how were these people Tomei in the first place when they came to Moshe and said Anachnu Tmeim L'Nefesh Adam? So they were Tomei for a mess mitzvah. Rashi, by the way, in Sukkah explains a mess mitzvah doesn't mean the usual sense where there's nobody available to bury him. It means a close relative of theirs had passed away, one of the seven relatives where there's a mitzvah to be Matami for. Yeah, so they have an opinion that they were carrying Yosef's bones. But you have another opinion that they have a Rabbi Yitzchak says that there were Tomei Mes Mitzvah. Shechal Shvir Shalahem Lius Be'erav HaPesach. Now what happened was the seventh day of their Tumah came out on Erev Pesach. Shenema V'lo Yochlu Las HaPesach B'Yemahu. The Pesach says they couldn't make the Pesach on that day, implying B'Yemahu D'Yodei Nechon Lasas. They couldn't do it on that day. Avalamacho Yechon Lasas. But if Pesach had been a day later, they would have been able to because they would have been Torah. V'Omer Rachman Nidchu. And yet the Pesach tells us that we push them off. So you see, therefore, says Rav, that even though all that's left is for them to toivel and have a head of Shemesh, nevertheless we can't, and therefore the same thing applies to the Tomei Sheretz. So Tosfos asks, actually, in that case, then why is Moshe telling these people that they're pushed off to Pesach Sheni? Just tell them toivel and have done with it. If we're saying that they can't bring the Pesach, that they can't bring Pesach Rishon because it's their seventh day and they haven't yet toveled, so why are you telling them, you know what, you're right, You know what, you're right. You can't bring Pesach Rishon, but instead the Eibishter is going to give you Pesach Sheni. Just Tovel and have done with it. And even Rav agrees that you can bring on their behalf. So Tosfos says that, what Moshe means is if you don't Tovel, then you're going to have to bring Pesach Sheni. You people yourselves have an option right now. It is your seventh day. So you've already been sprinkled the second time with Parah Aduma water. If you now go Tovel, you will still be able to bring Pesach Rishon. But if not, then not. No, Lepoyel not, because they came and said, Anach t'tmeim l'nefesh adam, what should we do? And Moshe tells them, wait, and I'll find out what the Eibishter says, and the Eibishter tells them Pesach Sheni. So Tosfos over here understands that what he's telling them is, not that you personally will necessarily have to bring Pesach Sheni. You personally could tovel, and you'll be able to bring Pesach Rishon. But in general, the Eibishter is giving a rule for the future, if there's somebody else, who it's only a sixth day of Tumah, for example, that he has Pesach Sheni. With that said, actually, the Rambam has a shitta. The Rambam understands our Gemara to be saying that according to Rav, which the halacha is like Rav, a tmei mes is unique compared to a tamei sheretz, even if his seventh day is on, even if his seventh day is on Erev Pesach, and he already toiveled, nevertheless, he still can't bring the korban Pesach, and he's nidcha to Pesach Sheni. The Ravid argues on it, and the Kesef Mishnah has a long discussion of how to understand the Gemara according to the Rambam, and how to understand it according to the Ravid. So according to the Rambam, it means very straightforward. It means these people did already toivel. Nevertheless, Gzeres HaKosov is that they still have to be pushed off to Pesach Sheni. That's what Rav is saying. So in other words, Rav is comparing them to a Tamei Sheretz, but he's saying they kind of go beyond even the Tamei Sheretz. Even though, no, so they're not eating it that night. That's the point. Rashi on the Pasuk mentions that they argued that fine. Rashi on the Pasuk mentions that they, from Sifri, I think, says that they argued, you know what, look, fine, we can't have the, let's have the Korban Pesach brought on our behalf. Fine, we won't be able to eat it tonight, but at least it should, at least fine, other people who are Tahor will be able to eat the meat. That way it won't become noiser. And so Moshe asks Hashem, and Hashem tells him they'll have Pesach Sheni instead. But according to the Rambam, we're talking about that according to the Rambam, we're talking about that they don't need anything else done. At this point, all they need is head of Shemesh. They already toiled. Nevertheless, Gzeres HaKosov, that they cannot bring the Korban Pesach. That's how the Rambam understands our Gemara. So, but Amar Rachmana Nidchu, and we still see that they're pushed off. Okay, so we'll continue the discussion on my, on